الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باقع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه ترجع الأمور وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالًا بعيدًا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته روى الإمام مسلم عن جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أرأيت إذا صليت المكتوبات وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام أدخل الجنة قال نعم In a hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, we learned that a man once asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I pray the five prescribed prayers, and if I fast the month of Ramadan, and if I consider the lawful things lawful, and if I deem the forbidden things to be forbidden, shall I enter paradise? And he said, yes. This is a hadith that reminds us of an important aspect of the balance that is the sunnah of the Mustafa alayhi salatu wassalam. Because sometimes when we open the books of fiqh, we can be scared. We see so many things, so much that is halal, so much that is haram, so much that is wajib or mandub or makruh or mustahab. So many things, but sometimes we can feel burdened. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this hadith and in other hadiths, is explaining to us that the basic conditions for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are basic, and they are simple. Just the basic practices, and considering the lawful to be lawful, and considering the forbidden to be forbidden, that's enough. Qala na'am, he said, yes, paradise is yours. In another hadith, also narrated by Imam Muslim, this time from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا لقيت من يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله مستيقنا بها قلبه فاشهد له بالجنة. If you meet somebody who says, لا إله إلا الله, whose heart is certain of this, then bear witness that he is of the people of paradise. And in another narration, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ, given the good news of paradise. You yourself can be the mubashir, the one who gives that person the good news of salvation. Why? Because they have said that the word which makes all the difference between belief and unbelief, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, no God but the God. So in religion, constantly we have to balance between, on the one hand, an awareness, a contrite awareness, that we very often cannot claim even to be doing the basics properly, with this yaqeen, with this ikhlas. And on the other hand, the good news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually set the hurdle fairly low. It's fairly easy to reach. But this does not mean that the other things are not important. Why? Because the other things, the additional things, the nawafil, the other practices, the night prayers, the additional fasts, the other acts of charity, all of the other dimensions of the sharia are there in order to increase our darajat, to increase our degrees in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to help us to achieve this yaqeen. Because notice that the man is indicating that this is not just something that you say with the tongue, but there has to be yaqeen with it. This is about certainty, and it's about ikhlas. Ikhlas is one of those pregnant terms. It doesn't just mean sincerity. It means the conveyance of something. And the conveyance is khalas, of release, purity, salvation, liberation. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ حُنَفَاءَ. The Qur'an again and again uses these terms in comparable context. The idea of the mukhlis and the idea of the hanif, similar. And hanif is the quality of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was the great hanif, the one who left family and wealth and property and homeland for an unknown wilderness. Why? For the sake of obedience, in obedience to the one true God, and also humble trust in him. The two go together. If you commit yourself to the one true God, you commit yourself also to the awareness that he guides, he protects, he saves, he supplies you with khalas. He saves you from the fire of Nimrod. He saves you from the trial of exile, living in the desert, of being old, aged, virtually alone, without children, without hope of children. He can save you. He can give you this khalas. But the condition for achieving that khalas is the ikhlas, which is the quality of the true hanif. Ikhlas is linked to monotheism. That's why the surah, which is most about tawheed in the whole of the Qur'an, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, which is all about tawheed, is called Surah Al-Ikhlas, making things pure. Make your belief pure, your heart will be pure, your life will be pure. But if one of those things in that relationship is impure, the other things will be affected as well. This is one of the mysteries of the nafs of human psychology. That iman and the sincerity with which we practice is connected to the practice itself. There is only a certain amount of time that we can spend saying La ilaha illallah and not putting it into practice, which means following the consequences of the prayer, the fast, the other things, living for others, before a crisis will set in. Because there's a contrast between the outward and the inward, the zahir and the batin, and that's the state of nifaq, and it's the state of those whose iman is weak, dangerously weak. These are people who are running on empty. They need the tank replenished. How do we do that? How do we receive this rain from heaven? Because through the ibadat, through praying, through opening up our hands, to emptying ourselves of food so that we can be filled with good things from above. And that's the only way it can come. That is the key to the Jannah. And that is why the hadith says that La ilaha illallah is miftahul Jannah, the key to paradise. It's not because that's enough and you don't really need to bother so much with the other things, because Allah is generous and we are weak and it doesn't really matter. It does matter. The two are connected. You cannot make some kind of artificial disconnection between La ilaha illallah and Muhammadur Rasulullah, between Tawheed and Sharia. Because your Tawheed is what leads you to practice Sharia and the Sunnah. But the practice of the Sharia and the Sunnah is what reinforces the Tawheed. And if one of those two things is weak, there's something wrong in your understanding, or if there's something wrong in your practice, it'll affect the other thing sooner or later. And this is why the believer must be in a state of balance between the Zahir and the Batin. That what he is inside must be a true manifestation of what he claims to be outside. And this is the meaning of ikhlas. The ikhlas that leads to khalas, that leads to liberation from all of the fitna and the exhaustion and the disappointments of this world. That purity, final purity, comes about through being mukhlisina lahu ad-din, sincere in their religion for him. So Wahab ibn Munabbih, in a khabar that's actually attached by Imam Bukhari himself to this hadith, because you can see how the understanding could be mistaken. Wahab ibn Munabbih su'il أَلَيْسَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحُ الْجَنَّةِ Is not La ilaha illallah the key to paradise? The idea being, presumably, that the guy thought, as long as I've got that, I'll be all right. And he said, Bala, yes, certainly. وَلَكِنْ مَا مِنْ مِفْتَاحٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ أَسْنَانٍ There is no key that does not have teeth. That is to say, the key to work in a lock must have a particular shape. There's no such thing as a generic key. And if you have the asnan, the key, the teeth on your key, فُتِحَ لَكْ وَإِلَّا لَمْ يُفْتَحْ لَكْ Then it will be open to you. Otherwise, the door will not open. The door of salvation, خلاص. The end of your worries will not be open to you unless you have the key. The key. And what are these asnan, what are these teeth that characterize the key as it has been given to the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's the practices. And the practices have to be right. That there isn't real ikhlas, there isn't real yaqeen in our la ilaha illallah unless the practices are there as well. Because the statement itself is not just any old statement. Hafifatani ala lisan, faqilatan fil mizan. These words, two kalimas, are light on the tongue, heavy in the balance. And it's true, la ilaha illallah is one of the simplest things you can say. It doesn't involve any complicated consonants, any difficult vowels. Anybody used to any language can say it right away. And this is part of the universality of Allah's generosity. Everybody can say la ilaha illallah. You can be sick, paralyzed, you can still move part of your tongue. You can say la ilaha illallah. Khafif, it's easy. But in the balance, it's the heaviest thing because it makes the biggest difference. If you're doing the prayer, the fast, the other things, but it's not really internalized on the basis of real understanding of the meaning of no God, no reality other than the God, the reality. If you're doing those other things, then it's just like acting in a theatre. It's not really being alive in the deen. Now the hadith has another dimension as well, which is interesting, the hadith with which I've talked about. Because when we talk about khalas, rescue, salvation, we talk about the dark, chaotic alternative. We're talking about something that has a clear barrier between them. That we are also talking about a human reality in which the barriers are not always that clear. So the question is this salvation, this khalas, this final rescuing, the only aspect of what goes on? Of course the answer is no. Most obviously because there's darajat. Darajat in the Jannah, and the highest degree, the Maqam Mahmud, is the degree of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The degree of those who see their Lord have a vision. إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَنْزُرُونَ As the book says, gazing upon their Lord is higher than the degree of those who are not doing that. And this is out of his justice, that what we do in this world is not just about whether we are doing enough or not, and then we make it. Like, are we going to pass the exam or fail the exam? That's the really important thing. No, what counts on top of that is the grade. And when you're talking about eternity, that unimaginable thing, clearly pretty important to use your finite efforts and your very few finite moments in this world to try and get a good grade. Knowing, of course, that ultimately it's not through our deserts, but through his absolute mercy. Salvation is ultimately his mercy, just as damnation is ultimately his justice. But there's another aspect of this in the hadith. Whoever says, La ilaha illallah enters paradise. Because there's other texts that indicate something more fearsome. وَمَا مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا Surah Maryam. There is not one of you but that shall come to it, which is hellfire. This is a definite decree of your Lord. And this is another aspect. How can you, on the one hand, have this hadith says, whoever says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ goes to paradise. On the other hand, this text that says, the other alternative, the continuation of the fire and the chaos and confusion and the distance that we put in our hearts, which is in the Akhirah, the zone of Jahannam, is something that we are all going to come to. this also is referred to it in a hadith, and it's a hadith that's also narrated by Sidna Jabir radiallahu anhu. مَا مِنْ بَرٍ وَلَا فَاجِرٍ إِلَّا دَخَلَهَا. There is no good person or bad person that will not enter it. The ayah in Surah Maryam says, come to it. And some of the ulama say they come to it, they see it, they don't enter it. But this hadith says, إِلَّا دَخَلَهَا, they shall enter it. فَتَكُونُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا كَمَا كَانَتْ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. And it will be for the people of Iman cool and safe, as it was for Ibrahim alayhi salam. حَتَّى أَنَّ لِلنَّارِ ضَجِيجًا مِنْ بَرْدِهِمْ. To the extent that hell itself will complain of this coolness that has entered it. So that's the resolution. That is everyone's destiny. And in a sense, that has to be how things work out, given what we are, the mess that we make of things, the absent-mindedness of almost every second of our lives, the distraction, the lost opportunities, the big mess with which we confront the divine justice. That has to be the outcome. But out of Allah's mercy, the same mercy that was shown to Sayyidina Ibrahim, unimaginably, in the fire of Nimrod, it becomes Bar and Salam. And then, as the ayah in Surah Maryam continues, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ تَقَوْا وَنَذَرُوا الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. Then we shall take out those who had taqwa and shall leave the wrongdoers crouching down in it. And there's a big dispute amongst the ulama. What does it mean for the punishment in hell for the real miscreants, those who are not taken out by the intercession of the founder of their religion? What does it mean for somebody to be خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, eternally therein? And the ulama have different views. Does the punishment continue? And does the place continue? Or does the place continue but the punishment doesn't continue? Or will there come a time when everybody is taken out? Or will there come a time when there is a kind of jumud, as some of the ulama have said, like Imam Tabari, that there is a kind of stasis, time is no longer experienced and it's just frozen? This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone knows. But what we do know, definitely know, is that He is the Lord of Rahmah and the Lord of Justice. It's not, as some people would say. There's a university just outside Washington, Charles Moore University, which is a Christian evangelical institution that specifically trains young people to become staffers in the State Department and the White House in order to bring about a more religious America. And you have to sign a declaration before you're accepted to be a student there, saying that you believe that those who are not Christians will suffer conscious torment forever. That's the precondition for entering this institution. Sunni Aqidah really is not like that. If you look at Imam Zabidi and Imam Zarat Imam Ashurun Bulali and Imam Shatabi and many of the other ulama who have written on this, Imam Al-Ghazali, they will say, look, there's no infinite chastisement for a finite sin because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and He is merciful. How that works out, Allahu A'lam. So this is another dimension of this hadith. So what we're beginning to see is that what's required of us is, on the one hand, absolute optimism and confidence in the justice and the mercy of heaven, which is limitless. On the other hand, an absolute refusal to be complacent. An absolute refusal to say, I think I'm doing enough, I'll make it. Like, I've done enough revision, it'll be all right in the supervision tomorrow. I think that'll do. The believer never says that'll do. The believer says, I'm exhausted, astaghfirullah, I can't do any more. But the believer never says, that's enough for Allah, and then I can do something else. That's not the state of the mustaqinan bi al-qalb, the one who has certainty in his heart. If we really have this la ilaha illallah, deep down where it really counts, we will never have that state of mind that says, well, now I've done enough religion, let me do something else. Because to the extent that there is that iman, there is that mahabbah. Because if you know the reality of the reality, that mahabbah, that love, necessarily follows. So that some of the ulama commenting on the hadith in Imam Ahmad about how the fires of hell will be cool and a place of security for the believers have said, it's the strength of their mahabbah which is putting out the fire. Because despite everything, they still love their Lord, that is enough to protect them. And that's the definition of the real iman. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who have iman are greater in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the great protection. And it is also the great witness to the authenticity of one's tawheed. Very often people make a big noise about tawheed and practice and threats which they imagine to be confronting their communities or the world. And they become too agitated for one really to think that these are real people of tawheed, real people of tawakkul, real people of mahabbah. If you are really a person of tawheed, a man, a woman of tawheed, you become concerned for the world and fearful for yourself. But because of your knowledge of the nature of your Lord, His omnipotence, His justice, His love, His compassion, you never panic, you never freak out. You never allow this disquiet to bubble over into some wild and freakish behavior. That's a sign that one is not mustaqiman bi qalbi, that one does not have that yaqeen in one's heart. The demonstrator who yells Allahu Akbar in front of the television camera, if he really had this yaqeen, he wouldn't need to be doing that. He would have more trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and would be less panicked by his situation, however superficially drastic it might seem. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the coolness of iman and true aqidah and true submission to the reality of la ilaha illallah in our hearts, for us and for our families and for all of the Muslims. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم, أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين, فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله, يهديكم الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.